Paul Bertarelli reporting for Aviation Consumer Magazine. I'm speaking with my colleague Mark Cook of Kitt Planes Magazine. Thanks for being with us, Mark. We want to talk a little bit about economy, fuel economy, and interest in fuel economy. We've reported on it widely in Aviation Consumer for certified airplanes. Tell us a little bit about interest in fuel economy among home builders. We've spoken in the past, and the interest seems to come and go. Is it becoming more noticeable now or no?
Oh, it's definitely more noticeable now. I mean, we're by and large burning the same fuel, paying the same price as the certified guys. And even though, generally speaking, experimentals are a little bit more efficient, we'll get to the reasons why in a moment. But still, you look at the fuel cost and look at your credit card receipt after you've topped off the airplane. I don't care if it takes 36 gallons or 60 gallons or 150 gallons. It's still breathtaking. So our guys are very interested in it. What they're doing is really embracing a lot of newer technologies in order to improve the efficiency. They have a bit of a head start. The typical home-built airplane tends to be relatively small, relatively aerodynamically efficient, and that helps a bit right off the bat. We generally have configurations that are not really feasible as series production airplanes, highly powered two-seat airplanes, for example. And those inherently will have, for any given amount of horsepower, fairly good fuel efficiency just because they're light and they're aerodynamically clean. So our guys start off with a little bit of an advantage, and we like to crow about that a little bit, but that's the nature of the beast. But the new technologies they're looking at, really the bulk of it is electronic ignition. You know, a lot of guys have figured out that if you can run electronic ignition and you run lean-a-peak with that, you can gain some efficiency points that way. And a lot of guys are embracing that. It used to be that this category was fairly conservative, and everybody liked magnetos and carburetors and real old school. But the newer generation, if you will, or even the older generation, is coming to the realization that electronic ignition is fairly mature on the experimental side. We have a few large players that are fairly well established in the field, including Lightspeed Engineering, which has been around for 20 plus years, and the risk factors therefore are relatively low. So the guys are really opting for that as one way to get a little more fuel efficiency out of the airplanes. And again, we start with a little bit of an advantage in terms of the configuration of the airplane itself.
Now, Delta Hawk is out there, has been out there with a developmental engine for probably 10 years. I'm told that they have shipped a few of them. Have you heard of any interest in that? Any of your readers expressed interest in using it, or diesel technology in general?
Oh, tremendously so. Our readers, and I think the experimental pilot category in general, is very interested in these new technologies. The real question is, who's going to build it? What's it going to cost? And is it really viable yet? You know, experimental aviation in a lot of respects has seen new technologies come and go. They've been promising a lot of efficiency or a lot of speed or whatever it is. And frankly, we've had quite a few unfulfilled promises in the industry. So most people are taking a wait and see approach. They want to see a few airplanes flying. They want to see support structure put up. More than ever, the experimental builder is looking for more of a certified experience. He wants to have a company that will give him some support, that has a service bulletin program in place, that isn't just, here are all the parts, you're on your own, good night, but more of a support structure. And that simply doesn't exist outside of the traditional aircraft venues. I should take that back. It doesn't exist outside of the traditional engine venues just yet. There's tremendous interest, but we're all kind of sitting around waiting for Delta Hawk to come out and say, all right, we are viable. We have a number of units in the field. We have a certain amount of field experience. We have firewall forward kits for these specific airplanes that are designed and vetted and engineered. And people want this sort of completeness to the kit and completeness to the experience that simply doesn't exist. And it's true that we have a number of people who are trying all sorts of new engine technologies, from Mazda rotary engines to diesels to auto engine conversions, with homemade, propeller reduction drives and homemade engine mounts and things like that. And it's terrific to have that kind of innovation and experimentation in the field. I mean, it's part of the title. But they're really not the large part of the market.
I'll ask you to cross the aisle here a little bit. Do you sense that there's possibly a tipping point in the price of gasoline that will make buyers and owners place economy at the forefront rather than something that they're thinking about?
Oh, certainly. But right now, we already have pretty fair economy. And I think the cost of fuel is going to have to go up significantly before you start looking at the bottom line saying, you know, what does the engine have to do to buy me back the economy, or to make the difference in the total cost delta between, say, a diesel and an existing piston power plant? The problem is really, you know, multifold. The existing engines are, and I'm talking about Lycomings and Continentals with, you know, somewhat modern technology applied to them and perhaps a little more compression ratio, are very efficient engines. And so it's not like we're starting off with an engine that has a fuel specific of, you know, 0.6 or 0.7 or something like that, where you move to a 0.4 or 0.35 and that's a paradigm shift in your economy. We're talking engines that routinely do 4.2, sometimes 4.1, sometimes 4.0, and we're talking about then replacing that with an engine that can maybe manage a 3.9 or 3.8. Well, that's a useful improvement, but it's not a deal changer. And the cost of implementing these new engines to existing airframes or even to new kit designs is substantial. So, you know, what's the payoff? How far down the road? How much fuel do you really have to consume, or how many hours do you have to fly before you make it back? And that's still a really big number.
Let's talk a little bit about the super efficient airframe. I had the idea that the GA recreational travel airplane of the future would be a 150 or 160 knot airframe, two-place, very small, very slick, on maybe 4 or 5 gallons an hour. Do you think that's doable? Do you think there's a market there for that?
I think it is doable. I'm not sure what the market is, to be honest with you. We are seeing some shifts in our own industry. For example, the Vans RV9 is a good example of a more efficient design of a traditional aircraft. It's simply by the expedient of a different main wing. It's got a higher aspect ratio, you know, long span wing. It's designed to use less horsepower than the similarly sized RV7. And if you do it right and don't fall into the temptation of dropping in as much horsepower as the airplane will handle, you have a very, very efficient airplane. So, you know, we have that in a way in our category, but, you know, speed still sells. And I think we're not quite to the tipping point where we start looking at miles per gallon more than we look at you know, true airspeed. And again, it's a cost issue. I mean, how much will it cost you to save money? we're not quite there yet. I do think that we are moving in that general direction, and that you know, the larger, very expensive home builds are probably the ones that are going to suffer the most. Although the guys who are running small turbines are still, you know, they're complaining about the cost of gas, but they're still flying the airplanes because for them personally, it's not a deal killer. For a lot of the recreational flyers who have, say, a Glass Air 3 with an IO 540 in it, they're starting to look at their own profiles a little bit differently and saying, you know, gosh, this is really, you know, my $100 hamburger is now a $250 hamburger. But rather than you know, change to an entirely different airplane, they're just flying less.
Okay, well, thanks for talking with us, Mark.
My pleasure.
Continuing our conversation on aircraft fuel economy, we're talking to Brian Seeley, who is president of the CAFE Foundation, and that's Comparative Aircraft Flight Efficiency, not Corporate Average Fleet Economy. Brian, if you could give us just a brief summary of CAFE Foundation activities.
Well, the CAFE Foundation is basically a flight test agency. We began 25, 26 years ago with the CAFE 400 races, and all through the 1980s, those were races in which both speed and miles per gallon were computed as a product to get the overall efficiency of the vehicle. In the 1990s, we became a flight test agency for EAA headquarters, and we conducted elaborate flight tests on the most popular of the home-built and kit aircraft and elucidated what their performances were. So we've got a very good idea of the fuel economy possible in small aircraft.
Brian, in the April issue of Aviation Consumer, we're comparing diesel engine economy with avgas engine economy, and we found some interesting results. What I'd like to ask you is, given the price of gas, which these days is around, in many parts of the country, over $5 average, are you seeing more interest in fuel economy for fuel economy's sake?
Oh, absolutely. I think that fuel economy is going to become a prime driver. I think that the total number of flight operations at general aviation fields are going to be very much related to the fuel economy issue. We've seen in our local field a general decline because fuel prices are high. I think we're going to see a move toward aircraft that use less fuel, have smaller engines, and the trade-off of a very high horsepower, high-speed aircraft toward slower aircraft that have smaller engines and get better fuel economy, whether that be with avgas or with biofuel.
Tell us a little bit about the personal air vehicle challenge for 2008.
The PAV challenge is a project under the Centennial Challenges program at NASA headquarters. It's designed to bring forth what is to be called consumer popular personal air vehicle. That is, a personal air vehicle that tremendously increases the utility and popularity of general aviation. It's got to be a very quiet aircraft. It has to be a very high fuel economy aircraft. It has to be a very safe and easy to use aircraft. And it probably will be a STOL, short takeoff and landing aircraft. So the many requirements are all part of the PAV Challenge flight competition. We're measuring each of those performances and awarding this year a prize purse of $300,000.
And do you think an aircraft that comes out of that competition would look somewhat like an LSA?
I think there's a very good chance that the LSA is going to become an almost ideal formula for PAV. I think there is a place where the slow speed of cars in surface traffic is going to make the speeds of LSAs look very appealing, particularly if they become, thanks to advanced flight deck, they can become more usable in all conditions, and they can land in shorter fields close to destination.
And while we're out here, let's put in a plug for the Electric Aircraft Symposium, which is taking place in San Francisco, I believe, in April. Is that correct?
Yes. The Electric Aircraft Symposium is going to be a convergence of an outstanding faculty of people from many sectors, including aeronautics and electronics, batteries, motors, controllers, the motor glider community, and of course the climate change and biomass renewable energy program people. And it's been absolutely thrilling to see the level of interest that has snowballed into this. So it's going to be, I think, a landmark meeting that is going to be the beginning of a move toward truly high fuel economy and at least carbon neutral or emission free aircraft.
The 2008 CAFE Foundation Electric Aircraft Symposium will be in San Francisco, California on April 26th. You can check out their website at CAFE Foundation, that's CAFE Foundation.org. For more on this story, subscribe to Aviation Consumer. You can check it out online at www.aviationconsumer.com.